Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Happy Texans Ticket Tuesday to all of you. You got a chance to win Texans tickets. You got a chance to see history this Sunday. An actual winning streak. It could happen, Seth. They're favored by three.
Winning against a very beatable football team, yes. The New York Jets. I watched all of Robert Saleh's press conference after their latest loss.
Ooh.
And
how's he holding up?
He's doing all right. You know what the big focus was? The media there asked him several times about how his stated, strategy so far this year has been to play the younger guys. So I think in New York there was maybe perhaps a much more open plan that, look, this is going to be a little bit of a tough year and we're just going to go about it. Whereas with the Texans, we never knew what the hell exactly they were doing. I give them a little bit of a break because of the Deshaun Watson situation, but we never felt like, wait a second, are they actually trying to be bad, or are they trying to make us think that they're going to actually compete but not really try to compete? It's been a lot. I think in New York, it's been much clearer that, hey, we've got a rookie quarterback, we got a lot of young studs, we're going to play these young guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's the difference, is the Texans don't have any young players, and they had no mechanism to get any reasonable young players this past offseason. The Jets are like a year ahead of what the Texans' rebuild arc is. The Texans are just in a weird situation right now where they had to muck their way through this year to clean up the Bill O'Brien mess. That's my feeling on it, at least. Like, I think if you brought in a bunch of young players, these would have been a bunch of undrafted guys, and it would have looked so bad that guys would have gotten hurt, probably. The caliber of player they would have had to bring in. Not that the guys they have right now are anything all that great, obviously. But I think I'm glad you brought that up, because I think it is a little bit instructive to Texan fans, not to start this off on a sour note today, but once they find that quarterback, there's probably going to be another growing pains year for this team, where they're going to have drafts the next couple years, especially if they move on from Deshaun, that are going to look a lot like the Jets draft from last year and this coming year. You know, where they moved Jamal Adams, they still had picks left over from Sam Darnold. Yeah. You know, they had picks from trading Sam Darnold. So I think from that standpoint, you brought up Saleh and you brought up the Jets. I think that's what makes this game a little bit interesting this weekend, is one, you do get to look in the mirror a little bit, or a future mirror, with what this might look like for the Texans from a young player standpoint. Number two, I think it's fun to get a chance to go against the guy that I think a lot of Texan fans probably wanted as the head coach of this football team. They're gonna see at least one of those. I'm looking at the schedule. They're going to see Robert Saleh this weekend. They're going to see Brandon Staley in week 16. For me, Urban Meyer was a guy that I wanted right out of the chute, so we see him twice a year. So we get our little mini tour of former apples of Texan fans' eyes.
So, yeah, guys who were in the conversation for being a head coach for the Texans this year.
Yeah.
So far, correct me if I'm wrong, the Texans are 1-0 just against Urban Meyer. We haven't seen anybody else.
Let's see. Cleveland, no. Carolina, no. Buffalo, no. New England, no. Indianapolis, no. Arizona, no. The Rams, no. Miami, no. Yeah, correct. Yeah, we'll see.
So
we'll
see as far Urban, as head coaches, at least.
Head coaches, yeah. So we'll see Urban again. We'll see Saleh this weekend. We'll see Staley in week 16. And then that's it. So just three of them.
So Saleh, this is a Saleh revenge game. I would imagine the last thing on Saleh's mind right now is the fact that the Texans didn't interview him. I think Saleh's not in a position where he can say, I'm going to show these SOBs. Saleh's just trying to get some semblance of respectability, because it is hard. Now, As I say, there was that emphasis by Salah on playing youth and whatnot. It doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't make it all of a sudden like, hey, no big deal. We're losing football games. We're getting embarrassed week in and week out. We're getting booed. Like all of that. All of that. It's hard as you're a coach, I would imagine, to go through all that while still preaching all the things that you want to preach and instill all those culture items and whatnot. Because guys don't, it's harder for guys to buy in when you're getting kicked around every week.
Yep. So that's the Jets Texans this week, and we're going to be giving tickets away each hour. You know how we do it. Between 6:45 and 7 o'clock is your first opportunity today to win. It'll be between 45 and top of the hour throughout the day, up to 6 p.m. So a good way to spend a Thanksgiving weekend if you haven't been to a game yet this year, and the Texans a 3-point favorite against the Jets. David Culley met with the media yesterday, Seth. He had some interesting things to say. We'll get into it later in this hour about some individual players that he was talking about, because I know you've got thoughts on some of those players. So we'll see how what you saw on film on Sunday, against the Titans lines up with Coach Culley. He had a couple interesting things, though. He had this to say about Tyrod Taylor. And when I heard him say this about Tyrod Taylor, I thought to myself, I don't know. Anybody who's looking to see Davis Mills again this year, barring injury, I don't know if we're going to see it.
When he came back in the Miami game, the leadership was there. And I'll tell you this, although it wasn't a very good game for him, uncharacteristic of him, there was still a belief all the way to the end of that ball game that we'd have a chance to win it with him being there. And we felt, everybody felt it. Everybody felt it on the sideline. We felt it through the whole week of doing that preparations. And when he goes out and he does what he did yesterday and taking care of the football and doing his job, good things happen. And it goes all through the team, not just our offense, but with the entire team.
Seth, I hear that. I mean, it's pretty effusive praise for a guy. I mean, he was praising Tyrod Taylor's presence in a game that was one of Tyrod Taylor's worst games as a pro a week or so ago against Miami. I hear that, and I go, I don't think Davis Mills, unless Tyrod Taylor yanks a hamstring again, I don't think he's playing again this year.
Counterpoint.
Go ahead.
Mic'd up with Mark Ingram, in which David Culley said that Mark Ingram's presence, okay, mind you, his presence, like, you know, his abs, his presence on the team was so much more important than even just what he was doing on the field, which was like impressive by Texan standards, but still not all that impressive. Was it that Mark Ingram was a vital cog in this machine? I thought I was watching a father talking to his son on graduation day. He was so proud of him. And then Mark Ingram gone.
That's pretty good. That's a really good counterpoint. Okay, my counterpoint to that, if Tyrod Taylor does not play this past Sunday against the Titans, the Texans still have not scored a touchdown on the road since the Cleveland game. And it was getting so bad here.
It was
so bad here that I think Tyrod Taylor is the one thing that makes this potential home stretch bearable for everybody, for any fan that wants him to win games, and certainly for anybody in that locker room right now.
I think that I think you're exactly right, and I think that whether you agree with it or not, or whether you think this is the right strategy or not, I think the Texans are trying to find some kind of weird balance where, look, they're not trying to rack up a whole bunch of wins, but they want to have some respectability. They want to compete in games, and they can't veer too far to the left of wherever that magic spot is. With Davis Mills, they were certainly veering that way. And part of that is, look, I think Davis Mills has done some good things as a rookie quarterback. There's only so much you can do behind that offensive line and with those running backs. And with the receiving options, which I actually don't think the receiving options are the worst in the league. You do have Brandon Cooks. You do have Nico Collins. Like, you have some options at the very least there. But there's only so much Davis Mills is going to learn this year, going three and out over and over again on the road.
They've had worse receiving cores even that have included DeAndre Hopkins. Like, they've had receiving cores that have been DeAndre Hopkins, when Will Fuller's been hurt, that have been DeAndre Hopkins. Like, there have been times, there was a time when Vincent Smith was the number two receiver on this team. I'm with you. I don't think the receiving core is all that bad. I just think the line is bad, and Tyrod Taylor is limited, and the running backs are, this might be the worst set of running backs that I've ever watched play football.
So painful.
To the point, like, if you're honestly, if you are of the opinion that the Texans are tanking, and I know there are those of you out there, if you have not brought up who's playing running back for this team, then you're not doing a good job of researching your side of the argument at all.
Think about, I mean, that mic'd up where David Culley was telling Mark Ingram how he was like the vital cog that drives that engine. And all these things that they're talking about, culture and everything, it goes out the window when you say, like, well, you know, somebody wanted to trade nothing for him, so we gave it, so we let him walk because it was a nice story for Mark Ingram.
By the way, Saints could have
had Mark Ingram in the offseason if they really wanted him, but whatever.
Well, they wanted him that badly, yeah. So it's, here's what Seth is referring to, because you referred to it a couple times. Here's David Culley coming up to Mark Ingram on the sidelines during the week one game.
Your presence on this football team, what you mean?
Yes, sir.
Very important. It ain't just about yards. Yes, it's about having you here.
Yes, sir.
You got me?
Yeah, I love you, coach.
just having you here. Yeah. Oh, this is the most... I'm David Culley. I'm the head football coach. This is the most vital thing. You just being here, even if you're not running or anything. You know, just your absolute presence here in Houston. Oh, sayonara. See you later.
I'm picturing Culley pulling into the stadium the day that Mark Ingram got let go, and Ingram sitting out next on the curb, like next to the recyclables. Like, hey, coach, why? Casario, hey, Nick, why is Mark Ingram next to the recycle? We're waiting for New Orleans to pick him up. We stuck him out. But his presence. Oh, it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. We're giving away tickets for this Thanksgiving weekend's game against the Jets every hour, so about 35 minutes from now, that is when you listen for your cue to call and get on out to NRG Stadium. Carlos Correa, more proof? I think more proof that he knows exactly what he's doing on social media. That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Bottom of the hour, we'll do a little Seth Payne Tuesday rewatch. He rewatched some things in the Titans game from over the weekend. It's nice to actually go back and rewatch a game and feel good about the outcome of it. So we're going to.
I know it's weird.
Relive
was,
the match. Savor that, strange. Right, Seth?
It's like I felt like some frigid woman who all of a sudden had her inner fire reawakened. It's like, oh, yeah.
It's a disturbing like image, this. But I'm excited to do the segment at 6:30.
Get aromatherapy going. Got aromatherapy?
Yeah. What's with all the candles in the studio? Why are there rose petals here? What the hell is going on? All right.
I forget sometimes that when I'm off in my little imaginary world, my brain, that you're actually right in front of me and
yes.
might get uncomfortable.
And there's
Sorry
people listening.
That.
Yeah. There's people in their car. That's the one thing you should remember. There's people listening, by God.
Sean, if you really wanted me to paint the picture of what I was imagining, it was me wearing some kind of like a shawl sitting in a like an actually frigid room. And all of a sudden, like spring erupted outside.
See, now that's
funny. And I got horny. Yeah.
There you go. So Carlos Correa, both on his social media and his wife Daniela's social media over the weekend, They were at, it looks like, if they were in Houston, it looks like they might have been at Lucky Strikes, the bowling place downtown.
It was definitely some kind of funky, cool bowling.
Yeah, alley. Like a cosmic bowling place. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, don't worry. Bowling's not something dorky that your dad used to do. It's cool.
Right, right. Check out all these lasers. Yeah. Pew, pew, pew. So the big thing about the social media, he's posting these pictures and it looks like it's with family. It's certainly with his wife. He's doing some cute little things where he's got his ear up against her stomach where the baby that they're soon going to have is snugly nestled.
Is that where babies come from?
Babies come from the tummy.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. He's got a ball cap on, clearly a Major League Baseball ball cap because he's got it on
MLB on the logo.
Got it on backwards, so the MLB logo is right above, right in between his eyes on his forehead right there is the logo, but he's got it on backwards. So the comments, whereas I think this may have gotten the reaction Carlos wanted, actually, but let's just pretend for a second that he was putting these up just because he wanted to share pictures of his smiling family here.
Yeah.
Most of the comments are like, dude, what hat are you wearing? Dude, what's the logo on your hat? Bro, what lid is that? Like, if you look, like 80% of the comments are people wondering what the lid is. I think this was intentional. I think this is Carlos Correa, first time he's ever been really recruited for anything, and he's never gotten a chance to do like what the high school kids do for football where they put the ball caps out and they pump fake it one and grab another. I hate when they do that, but they do that. I think Carlos is trolling people right
well,
now.
Well, I think, what if he just, okay, let me be the voice of reason here, Sean.
Yeah.
What if he's not trolling people? He just did realize right before they were about to take pictures that he was wearing an Astros cap or something, and he felt that not only would that be misleading, but it would be tasteless to taunt us poor Astros fans.
Okay.
But he also, at that point, had hat head or hat hair, so he couldn't take the cap off. He's Carlos Correa, after all. He's got an image to uphold.
Hey, you could have stopped after the first part, the hat hair part. You're bringing up good counterpoints this morning. It's going to be a long day today.
Another counterpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
What if he was wearing some hat like, Seabass from Dumb and Dumber, some kind of wine-em, dine-em.
Now that's better.
Blank-em type of deal.
I like that. He had a dirty hat on. Now, that would be funny because the crowd that he's with looks to have some parents in it.
It'd
be great. If it were her parents, it would be awesome if he had a hat like that
on. It said wine-em, dine-em, sex act in Spanish on there like he does on his podcast.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So you don't think he's trolling people with this? Then?
I don't know. It might be part of his social media strategy that he's going to have a backwards hat on until he makes the decision. Remember, J.J. Watt announced his destination just by, what was it? He didn't say anything except source me, and there was a picture of him working out in Cardinals gear.
Correct. Yep.
And that was it. That was his announcement. And I'm sure, I don't know, I bet Carlos follows JJ, and maybe he's thinking, okay, I'm going to do something similar, and it'll be cool. It'll be big, big, big time viral, just like JJ.
Carlos get his stuff done pre-lockout or post-lockout? Lockout is coming December 1st in all likelihood.
It feels like if it hasn't happened already, just like with this initial flurry of deals, that the lockout is probably what's holding things up. This is a very unique situation. There's probably going to be a labor stoppage December 1st or a lockout. No labor to be done right now. And nobody's really sure how different teams, agents, and players are going to respond to all of it. But $300 million is a whole lot of money to commit.
Yep.
It's one thing to commit a one-year deal with a one-year option to Justin Verlander. To commit 10 years when you don't know what it's going to look like in the future, I don't think there's many teams that are probably willing to do that because they're afraid that what if just by some stretch of circumstance the luxury tax becomes a lot more onerous to teams. They're not going to be stuck with that $300 million contract. So after is what I'll say.
I think so too. I think, you're right. Carlos's deal is up in the neighborhood where it's if you're a team and there's a labor issue coming, a labor dispute coming in a week, it's a week from tomorrow, I don't know. I don't think you can give out 12 years, $340 million when that's looming on the horizon.
I think the Astros should just do a one-year $40 million or something. Just go way up above and beyond the average and say, Carlos can't do that. Like, he's a young free agent, which is rare in baseball.
Yeah.
He's not that young. He's 27 years old. So As closer it gets to 30, the less likely it is. Yeah, that's not happening. He's not signing a 1-year deal.
Are you buying the reports that the Yankees are not interested in pursuing an elite free agent shortstop, or is that just smoke, do you think?
Who are the reports coming from?
From the reporters. I know the last name is Sherman. I forget his first name.
Is it Richard?
It's not written. No, Joel Sherman. MLB Network insider Joel Sherman reports the New York Yankees are not actively pursuing an elite shortstop.
I always feel I trust the MLB and NFL.com guys a little bit more, just because I know that those guys probably hold on to a lot of things just for employee-employer issues. Yeah. And so I feel like they have to be a little bit more certain about things before they put it out.
Yeah, that would be... if I were Carlos, I wouldn't like hearing that the Yankees are out of the mix, but maybe.
I do. I like hearing it as a radio host, because I said last week that the Yankees were out based on Carlos talking smack about Derek
about Jeter. Yeah,
like it's Correa knows. Correa like says what he wants to say and all that stuff, but that was just like a 100% needless shot at a team that might be interested in giving you $300 million. I don't think he would have done that unless he knew for sure the Yankees were out.
Someone said it would be so funny if he turned it around and it was a Montreal Expos hat. That would be
well.
Funny.
It wouldn't be that funny because Tampa's going to play half their games in Montreal.
Okay, now if he went to Tampa. If he went to Tampa, that would be hilarious,
would
actually. He goes to James Click's old team.
Yeah, and they spent $300 million on a contract.
Right. Yeah. No, he's making more than literally everybody else on the team combined.
That would be a little bit like Machado going to the Padres, I suppose, except that, I mean, the Padres, that was more of a leap of faith on Machado.
Well, and that launched a spending spree by the Padres.
Yeah. That's what I mean. The Padres weren't spending a lot of money. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a second, Machado's going to the Padres, mm-hmm. and they, boom, there it went. Maybe Tampa's ready to make their move.
Maybe. I would recommend getting fans in the stands first, before you start doing
what do
that.
You do if you're an awesome baseball team and you get no fans whatsoever? Like, what's your – there's no marketing plan for that.
No.
You got to play half your games in Montreal.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker joins us in an hour. We'll talk some NFL football with – Ross Tucker. We'll get his thoughts on the Texans going into Nashville and beating the Titans. Insider calls presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app. It's a great app. Visit BetQL.com today. All right, Seth Payne did a rewatch. We have not done many of these this year because you've had to avert your eyes most of the time with the Texans, but Sunday was fun. They beat the Titans. Seth Payne Tuesday rewatch film review next.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. About 10 minutes from now is when the window opens for you to potentially win tickets to Sunday's game, NRG Stadium. Good way to cap off Thanksgiving weekend. It's the best football weekend of the year, Thanksgiving weekend. So Texans Jets on Sunday, we'll give away our first set of tickets of the day. We're doing it every hour here on Sports Radio 610. All right, Seth did a rewatch of the Texans' 22-13 win over the Titans. And Seth, I thought a good way to go through this journey here would be to let's use some of what David Culley talked about with the team yesterday, because I think it lines up with some of the things you probably saw in the game. Let's start with his observations on the offensive line. This might have been some of the most faint praise ever given to a position group that I've ever heard a head coach give. Well, I'm not even going to try to steal any of David Culley's thunder. Here was David Culley when he was asked about the performance of his team. Specifically, I believe, asked about pass protection, but he extrapolated that out to talk about both pass pro and the run game in the offensive line.
Well, one of the reasons our pass protection was pretty good, we had no sacks, so we only threw it 23 times. And we rushed the ball without Tyrod 31 times, which has a lot to do with that. The rushing yardage and per carry wasn't there, but the attempts were there, and that was important to be able to have those attempts. And when you do that, you know, it takes the pressure off those guys. And when we did throw, most of the time it was off of a play action. And when Ty got a little pressure, he was able to get out and make some things happen on his run. And that was all on with his feet, and that was all because of us being able to run the ball. Attempt to run the ball.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Being able to attempt.
I'm glad he caught himself
a couple times with that, which was impressive. Because sometimes, Culley, you know, like the other, like a couple weeks ago when he said it's impossible to win a game in which you turn the ball over four times, where meanwhile they had just gotten beat by a team that had turned the ball over five times.
Correct.
Like that. Some of these little minor details elude him sometimes. So I was glad that he understood that they didn't actually run the ball effectively. But yeah, pointing out as a positive that nothing bad happened because you didn't try to do anything bad.
Hey.
Like, that's almost like the opposite of the Michael Jordan quote.
Right, right, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hey, if you don't throw the ball, you can't get sacked, huh?
That's right, that's right. Yeah, if you don't take the shot, you'll never miss.
That's right.
So there you go, fellas. This is the Ben Simmons theory of pass protection.
It is. It's a Ben Simmons.
I'd miss 0% of the shots I don't take.
That is our offense is Ben Simmons.
Okay, the offensive line. Here's my faint praise. They did a good job in this game in pass protection of when they got beat, they didn't get beat super fast, which this is faint praise. Don't get me wrong. They didn't do a great job with pass protection, but the play-by-play guy there, Catalan, at one point in the second quarter, I was surprised because he said, well, you know, the Titans' defensive line hasn't pressured Titus at all. And it was true in terms of the statistics. They hadn't hit Titus Howard or anything. But Titus had run the hell away from some imminent danger.
Tyrod Taylor, you're
saying. Yeah, did I say Titus? Okay, yeah. Titus. Dang it. Tyrod Taylor hasn't been pressured at all. But Tyrod had run away from some imminent danger several times. But the offensive line, at least, and I think by virtue of the protections where they were really trying to hem up the interior offensive line, they didn't get beat as fast. It gave Tyrod time to escape the pocket and get upfield. So that's not really praise, but compared to the way it's been at times, remember, with Max Sharping, where he would just get beat immediately. Yeah. That wasn't happening as much in the game. I do have one observation that has nothing to do with anything. Like, this isn't anything that anybody at home couldn't have observed. I'm not drawing on my 10 years of NFL experience with this or anything. Does Titus have a different body type this year?
Is
he a little thicker?
He's a little thicker.
Yeah.
He's a little thicker.
And I don't think it suits him well. I went back and I looked at pictures from his rookie in his second year when he was playing offensive tackle and he was a sleeker guy. I think he tried to bulk up to play guard, and it's not working for him. That's one of his problems. Counterintuitively, you can get too big. You know, you just don't. Just because you go to guard doesn't mean you should try to be a different body type than you naturally are. And I think that's part of his problem. He has a hard time recovering when he takes bad steps. Guys get him going, and he can't slow it down. It's just everything about him this year looks uncomfortable and wrong. And the other counterintuitive thing is, I think Titus used to be able to kind of pack a wallop. I haven't seen that. He just kind of absorbs guys or just gets in front of them when he's pulling. And it's really sad to see. I think he needs to lose 15 or 20 pounds, go back to tackle. But even if not, you might be a better guard just playing at a better body weight.
He needs the season to end, I think, more than any other Texan. He just needs the season to be over so they can go back to the drawing board with him.
At one point during this game, Sean, because I know every now and then people say, well, like, no, the Texans just aren't running the ball well because there's eight men in the box. Look, first of all, you should be able to run versus eight men in the box. It's just you can't run as well, but you should be able to run. You should be able to get more than 1 yard a carry. The second is there was a play down in the red zone, Sean, where there were four defenders in the box. I mean, they had the defensive line up, and the linebackers were playing deep, like with their heels on the goal line, and those four defensive linemen just swallowed up seven blockers and stuffed the run in the backfield. It was bad.
Did you see on the second touchdown Terod had what happened with Danny Amendola and Charlie Heck?
That the one where that was when Charlie Heck fell down. Did he click his heels with Amendola?
Yes, that's exactly what, because Amendola was in motion, he fell down. They bumped ankles with each other, and Charlie fell right on his butt, and Amendola fell face first. It was pretty. We can laugh now because they scored a touchdown on that exact play. But
they were pulling a tandem Dorothy trick, like trying to get the hell out of here. Please, like take me back home. Take me back to New England.
Let's click our heels together with each other and fall down. Here was David Culley on communication. The defense played very, very well. David Culley on communication in the secondary.
The big thing, what I've seen with them is that just eliminating the big play. We gave up a couple yesterday, and basically it happened because of a miscommunication. And that's been the biggest thing with us moving forward, especially coming off the bye, is the big thing was communicate. And basically when you've played with each other together, it's no different than when you're playing in the offensive line. Eventually the same guys playing together, you have some continuity. We've got the same guys in the back end right now that have played for us for a couple of weeks. And they're communicating better, although we had a big one yesterday with the big play that they got. That was a miscommunication, and that's the big thing.
All right, so the play he's talking about, the only big play, the only explosive play they gave up, if you define an explosive play as more than 20 yards, was the 46-yarder to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina at the worst possible time. Like, that was the time of the game where you were like, all right, as long as they're having to chew up a ton of clock to go get points, and that's okay. And they get a 46-yard bomb with a total coverage bust.
Did you know that I thought his name was Brooks Ikhina, just based on hearing it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it was Westbrook Ikhina.
He's got a hyphenated name.
Yeah, I know, but I thought it was hyphenated, but I didn't. I missed the whole complete first syllable of it, that West part.
Yeah.
So Brian Westbrook Ikhina is wide open on that play because I think they were trying to play quarters coverage and the safety just didn't get back deep enough. This is one of those moments where it was nice to get confirmation because you saw Eric Murray basically motioning like, hey, you're supposed to be deeper. You're supposed to be deeper. So the great thing about that play was that the defense immediately made up for it with a Dez King interception.
Yes.
Didn't end up skewering him. That was Dez King's first interception in that series. But I do think that if there's one thing that was apparent, even though Justin Reed messed up on that play, it was probably Justin Reed, the safety play is just a lot better without Lonnie Johnson.
Yes.
And Eric Murray, look, Eric Murray's no all-pro or anything, but I think he's gotten to that point in the season where he understands the defense better. Everything's a little bit more natural. So he and Justin Reed are just generally making things work a lot better than when you got Lonnie back there just looking completely lost at times.
Can I tell you what my concern was with that cut from Cully? Is that he talked a lot about how, hey, man, we're to this point in the year where now guys are getting it and they're communicating and things like that. This is a roster that's going to turn over massively again in the offseason. Is this something we're going to have to go through again the first half of next year when they bring in a whole bunch of new guys for this defense?
I think there's a chance it is, Sean.
Okay.
That's an unfortunate thing. I'm not trying to be negative about it or anything. Look, that was mental errors happen. Westbrook Akina gets that play because of a mental error. That happens. For the most part, they've gotten a lot better at that. I do think, though, too, Sean, one thing that does happen is it's a lot easier in the second year of a scheme, even if you have a bunch of new players, because half the guys on the defense still understand the scheme. You've got more coaches. It's one thing, anytime a new coordinator comes in and does something extremely different, he's generally teaching 25 guys how to play that defense. Maybe with a few guys that have been in something similar or have played for him before. But you're trying to teach 25 guys that version of the defense that year. Next year, even with a bunch of turnover, you're still going to have a bunch of coaches on the field and guys that can help out. And it really ramps things up a lot faster when guys can communicate with each other pre and post snap.
That makes sense. All right, so let's rapid fire some of the players, the individuals here.
But I'm having so much fun.
Well, rapid fire. David Cully did get asked about a few individual performers from yesterday or from Sunday's game. By the way, it's 6:45 now, so be listening. We're going to be giving away our first set of Texans tickets here in the next probably 8 to 10 minutes. So keep it tuned right here if you want to win some Texans tickets. Kamu Grugier-Hill had one of his best games of the year, had one of the biggest plays of the year with that interception, returning at 82 yards, completely flipping the field early in the game. The first of four interceptions Ryan Tannehill would throw. Here's David Cully on Kamu Grugier-Hill.
He plays every snap. Not only does he play all the snaps, he plays on special teams for us, and he's a pro. You know, he and Tyrod, he's kind of like our Tyrod on defense. You know, with Kristen Kersey not being out, he stepped up and kind of taken that role. And he's done a heck of a job with it. And again, playing as much as he's playing and his leadership, like I said before, he does a great job.
The linebackers in general have done a much better job over the last couple games of getting back to their spots and zone coverage. And part of that is because they're not biting so hard on play action. I would have been curious to see how they would have done with that against Derrick Henry, because that's a whole lot different than Adrian Peterson. I almost called him AD, but he's definitely not all day any longer.
No.
So that's the question. Is this going to stick when they face some of the better rushing offenses with their stud running backs? But that's been a good factor. Like, Kamir Grugier-Hill, obviously we see him. I think one of the more promising signs for me is that Zach Cunningham got in the way in the right way a few times, got into passing lanes, got his hand on a ball. Even on some plays where there were completions, I don't think there was as much run after the catch because the linebackers were at the very least back where they were supposed to be. The one thing about Grugier-Hill, and again, I'm not trying to harp on anything overly negative after victory or anything, the one thing that's holding him back from being like a genuinely really good player is that he has some plays that aren't just bad, they are atrociously bad, to the point where nobody notices it because he's so far away from the play.
Yeah.
And I sent you that one, Sean.
You did.
Where it was the first Adrian Peterson run to the left, where 10 guys on the Texans were chasing Adrian Peterson, and Kamu Grugier-Hill was running in the exact opposite direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Long after he should have realized that Adrian Peterson
had the
ball.
I was watching that video you sent. I'm like, this is genius.
Yeah.
Kamu Grugier-Hill.
If they decide to throw it back to the fullback, if Adrian Peterson turns this into a halfback pass
right
to the fullback, Grugier-Hill's going to be right
on
him.
Yeah. Position, baby.
So there are a few instances like that where either because of his size or because of a misread, he gets himself way out of position, and it really hurts the defense, but nobody really notices it because it's that bad.
Yeah.
So he does some really, really good things. He's a guy, though, that still needs to learn the defense and be more steady and solid in the responsibilities part of the game.
All right, Seth did a rewatch on the Titans game. We're going through some of the observations and kind of contrasting and comparing them to what Coach Cully had to say about some of these guys yesterday.
The other thing real quick on the linebackers that's driving me insane is they're flat out dumb when it comes to recognizing screen. I mean, it's just it's astounding. They're just standing there with their eyes in the backfield as all the offensive linemen are moving to the sideline. Like, I don't know. I don't understand how you can be a linebacker staring in the backfield and you see three, like, in your peripheral at the very least, and you're supposed to be reading the guards and centers and a linebacker anyway. Like, you see all the linemen leave, and you just don't do anything about it. It's
crazy.
Really weird.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so they just got to get better at that part of it.
Let's rapid-fire two rookies here as we approach the top of the hour and give away some Texans tickets. First, tight end Brevin Jordan. Here's David Culley.
He's growing into that role. If you've noticed, he's getting a few targets where he's been one-on-one, and we've moved him outside. We feel like that's a good matchup because he's a very good athlete out there, and he does a really good job with routes, and he's got really good hands, and even when we got him inside, even in our run game, he's starting to improve there because of his strength. He's pretty versatile. We can do what we need to do with him, whether he's inside or outside. But he's getting better and better.
Brevin Jordan, Seth.
This is the interesting stat on Brevin Jordan. It matches what I think anybody would have guessed this would be, but it's a little bit more extreme than I even thought. It's not just that they don't, like to use him as a run blocker, because he's done good with what they've asked him to do as a blocker, but he's no George Kittle or Rob Gronkowski or anything yet. He's been in on 42 pass plays, so this far in his appearances so far, 42 of them have been pass plays, 11 have been run
plays. Wow.
So they are looking at him as an extreme, like you are going in on passing downs and passing downs alone. And he's working at it. The kid's real conscientious. I'd like to see him get opportunities for run after the catch more.
Yeah.
Like the way they've used him on some of these little nifty RPO to the sideline tight end quarterback dealios that they've been running since the Denver game of 2019. There's teams have gotten pretty good beat on that.
Yeah.
You know, at some point maybe they catch somebody sleeping and Brevin Jordan gets to turn it upfield, but he's got run after the catch ability.
He does. All right, last rookie that we will get to, last player we'll get to here, a Seth Payne favorite because they share the number 91, and Roy Lopez, pretty good football player as well. Here's Culley on Lopez.
He's a nose tackle that he's one of those guys that will command and allow those linebackers to be able to do what they do right there. And he is so tough, Brooks. I mean, that guy is so tough. He plays 100 miles an hour all the time. He's learning. He's also learning, too, that, sometimes it gets a little rough and tough in there, with those guys, because you usually have two guys blocking you. Normally when it's one, you're okay, but all of a sudden two guys blocking. Guys blocking from the left, and then all of a sudden you think you're okay, and you go to the right, and another guy hit you. He's learning now about how to be a NFL nose guard and doing a good job of it.
All right, so you had a great tweet about Roy Lopez yesterday, I thought, about his potential longevity in the league.
He does a lot of things that rookies don't typically do when it comes to nose tackles especially, because everything's really fast as a nose tackle. All the reads are really fast. The players aren't as fast, obviously, but the reads are really fast. Everything happens immediately, so you don't really have any chances for missteps or anything. And he recognizes the play, and he understands complex blocking schemes really well. A lot of rookies, and even second and third and fourth year defensive linemen, sometimes don't get a real feel for exactly how an offensive lineman is trying to block him in the run game or what the scheme is trying to do in a particular game. And Roy Lopez picks up on that really quick. So it's really cool to see, and I think it's a sign that he'll end up playing a long time in the league. And he's, for an undersized guy, quote-unquote undersized, he holds the point at the line of scrimmage better than a lot of 340-pound fatties that get taken for rides at times. So I think he's going to end up being very solid. Like maybe a Booger McFarland type.
Ooh.
Not a great pass rusher or anything, but if he can be a Booger McFarland to whoever the Texans Warren Sapp is someday, I'd be totally cool with that.
With better football takes, hopefully. All right, up next as we head into the 7 o'clock hour, anonymous execs. We love anonymous execs. We love people that don't put their name on it. They basically answer the question, would the Texans be better off losing the rest of the year? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.